Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to Windy City Queercast, show number 487. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Richard Knight Jr.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Amy.
I haven't seen you in so long. And you know, if Richard's on this show, it must be all about movies, movies, and movies. And I think you probably feel like your life has been more about the movies than ever before. Been
yes,
a good summer
yes,
for you?
Yes. Was it summer? I've been locked in the editing room pretty much since we wrapped.
Yeah, of course, many of you know, if you listen to the show regularly, that I have a small part in the film that Richard has been in the editing room for. It's called Scrooge and Marley, and it was filmed right here in Chicago, Illinois, in our hood, in all of our gayberhoods, and he is the writer and director, and he is the chutzpah behind this whole project.
Co-writer and co-director.
Co-writer, co-director, co-fabulosity, co-star. He's got a big part.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't have a big part.
You're an auteur. It's what you are. So Scrooge and Marley is in the editing room, and Scott Duff, as you all know, is in it as well, has got a part, and lots of Chicago and national talent. So I guess we haven't even talked about this on the podcast, that you all landed Judith Light as the narrator of the film. Tell people just real briefly what Scrooge and Marley is, what kind of film it is.
It's a modern day retelling of A Christmas Carol, the Dickens classic, and it's seen through kind of a queer lens. And in our version, a lot of the characters are gay and lesbian. And it's an old-fashioned traditional holiday picture that just happens to be told from a queer perspective.
And it's set today, like here and
it
now,
it is set
right?
today, and in our version, you understand sort of why Scrooge is so bitter. What made him this way? We go back to the 70s when he was a young man and experienced a lot of terrible things that a lot of our gay comrades did. He's kicked out of the home for being gay. There's a whole storyline with a boyfriend with AIDS. Yes, it's a holiday movie, so there is a lot of heart and feeling and fun and frivolity, and certainly your character is involved with a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can talk. All you have to do is go to the website and read the synopsis. So you know, in the Dickens original, Scrooge's nephew is full of life and fun, and in our version, it's his niece who is a lesbian, and you play her partner, and you're having a baby together, and so there's this joyous occasion that you want to share with Uncle Scrooge, and he wants no part of it.
No, but how can you look at me pregnant and not want to be a part of it? I mean, come on. Come on. People have been waiting to see me pregnant for years. That would be my mother, my father, a couple of aunts who still hope I find a good man. And that's about it. That's about all the people. No, actually, my mother and father don't care if I've ever gotten pregnant or not. But I do have a couple of aunts and uncles that probably still hope I find a good man. So.
Well, they're going to be very happy to see you in this condition because I think for most of the movie, you are in that condition.
Yes, certainly. I'm pretty preggers. It's pretty true. Yeah. Well, how you know you've been how many years have you been criticizing or critiquing or sharing your love of movies with the world and the community?
Well, I've actually been writing film reviews for Windy City Times for 8 years. I've been writing about movies for longer than that.
Yeah.
Longer than that, but I guess I've been a professional critic, whatever that means, because I think it's all sort of subjective for that long. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is your first film.
This is my first film.
And and what would you say to people out there who think I've got a story I want to tell and make it into a movie?
Find somebody like a Tracy Baim, who is our executive producer.
Convince Tracy Baim.
Yeah. Ellen Stone King, who is the lead screenwriter, and I and our late comrade, Tim Imsey, worked on this piece together, and at a certain point I said to Ellen and Tim, you know, when we're done with this, I'm going to go take this to Tracy Baim, who produced Hannah Free with Sharon Glass and a lot of other wonderful, talented actors from Chicago. And if she likes it, it's going to go, because that's how Tracy is. When she wants to do something, she does it. So we jumped through some hoops, and lo and behold, after a long meeting, she said, okay, here we go.
Hold on. Wow. And you really have an amazing group. Can you just talk a little bit about some of the names in the film? Because I am the least of these. I mean, there are some really great names in this movie that you all have. We've mentioned Judith Light will be narrating kind of the once upon a time-ish aspect of the film.
Absolutely.
Who else is involved?
David Pevsner, who may be known to some of our gay and lesbian listeners. And I guess we have a few of those, right?
Yes.
We might have a couple of those. He is stars in this web series, Old Dogs, New Tricks, and has done a lot of stuff from the coast. He's actually originally from here, and audition is tremendous. He plays our lead, Scrooge.
Yep.
I cannot say enough about this actor. He just did everything for us. Tim Kazurinsky, who former Saturday Night Live, Police Academy, has written movies, Summer in Time, you name it, plays Marley's ghost. Rusty Schwimmer from, 23 years of Hollywood films and TV shows, blah, blah, blah. She plays your partner, Frida.
Right.
Megan Cavanaugh from League of Their Own.
Marla Hooch.
You know, on and on. She plays the ghost of Christmas Present.
Yeah,
Ronnie Kroll from Make Me a Supermodel and in The Lion's Den and several other things, who's now up for the Price is Right male model.
I hope he gets it. Me too.
He's perfect. He plays the Ghost of Christmas Past. We have Bruce Valanche, a Hollywood queer icon, 20-some years of writing the Oscars, putting words into Bette Midler's mouth. Everybody else in town plays Fezziwig, the head of the disco who Scrooge first worked for when he was a young man. He's delightful and actually does some work in the film that you've not seen Bruce do. He also has some beautiful, serious moments. Mm. So those are all wonderful, tremendous actors in the film, and then a lot of local theater actors making their debuts.
Yeah.
In the picture, who came courtesy of our tremendous, tremendous casting director, Heather Schmucker. I can't say enough about her. I think, you know, both my husband and her wife.
Yeah, I thought they had lost you both, I think.
Thought they had lost us because, you know, how you meet those people, and it's just kind of this sensational loving sort of thing. And I mean, so many people that she brought to the table. You know, I know film very well, but I don't know a lot of the theater people. I can't say enough. Scott Duff, tremendous. PJ Powers,
artistic director
Nick
of Time
Daly. I mean, you know how all these people are. I didn't know them. They came in audition. They were tremendous.
Yeah.
It kind of goes on and on and on. Drew Anderson, who plays a young Scrooge.
Yeah.
He's from has an improv background.
Yeah.
Tommy Beardmore, who has a key role, improv theater background.
The cute Chris Allen, who I was in Enron with, who is lovely. There's just
who it will is just like sensational.
Yeah.
Sensational.
Yeah.
He's wonderful in the film. I love him. So.
Yeah. It's exciting, and it's gonna have a holiday-ish release, right? So hopefully you'll come back on, or maybe we can get David or some of the gang and talk about the movie when we get closer to the film.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But today we have to talk about the fall movie scene, because we're kind of done, right, with all the superhero summer blockbuster schmockmuster.
Thank God.
That I'm
Thank
so
God,
glad is,
yeah.
is past. I did see some very good films this year. None of them had a superhero in them. One of them had an adorable girl with orange diapers and little boots. But
What was it?
Beasts of the Southern Wild was my favorite movie of the summer.
I missed it. I missed so much this year, and I'm dying to see that.
Yeah, you have to see it. It's brilliant. And also, people who had a little play that they adapted into a movie and made into something unlike I've ever seen on film. I think it's going to really be a contender, especially at the Independent Awards. Whether or not it will make it all the way to the Oscars, it really deserves to. But Richard is here to spend the show with us to talk about fall movies, get us excited, because always there are some queer characters, themes, ideas, films that we're going to want to know about. So we're going to tell you what's going on in the gay news. There are some things still going on as the political race is heating up, and things going on in the entertainment scene. Also, the theater scene, along with films, are starting to pick up. So we've got those in the news, those in the theater segment as well. And then Richard Knight Jr. back with us here on the Queercast.
Vancouver is home to Western Canada's largest LGBT population, and now you can enter for your chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction prize package to Vancouver, British Columbia. A safe and welcoming destination for diehard shoppers, avid outdoor thrill seekers, nightlife aficionados, and dedicated food lovers, Vancouver is a world-class city offering something for everyone. From sports pubs to drag shows, leather bars to dance clubs, lounges and restaurants, Vancouver's got it all. Plus, Vancouver Pride celebrations and the Vancouver Queer Film Festival in July and August, and Whistler's Winter Pride in February. Tourism Vancouver is pleased to offer you and a guest the chance to win a trip to Vancouver in 2013. For a chance to win the Lights, Camera, Attraction sweepstakes, visit tourismvancouver.com/lights by November 30th, 2012 to enter. That's tourismvancouver.com/lights.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
Freedom to Marry has launched the National Engagement Party, a program of house parties that aims to raise awareness and funds for battles to win marriage ballot and measures in key states this November. National Engagement Parties will take place in cities across the country Saturday, October 13th in Miami, New York, D.C., Los Angeles, Palm Springs, California, and San Francisco.
President Obama recently announced more key administration posts, including David C. Bonet. Bonet, who is openly gay, was named a general trustee of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts Board of Trustees. Bonet is currently chairman of the board of the Los Angeles Philharmonic Association and a trustee of the Foundation for AIDS Research at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art.
Google Inc. has unblocked the term bisexual from its search algorithm. Since late 2009, Google has had bisexual on a list of banned words.
The first academic study of the military's new open service policy has found there have been no negative consequences from the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The study, published by the Palm Center, a research branch of the Williams Institute, found that there has been no overall negative impact on military readiness, unit cohesion, recruitment, retention, or morale.
GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, has announced the nominees for its 2012 Amplifier Awards, which honors pro-LGBT individuals and projects in advertising and PR industries. Nominees are Wells Fargo, Kraft Foods with its Oreo Pride campaign, Lexus, Orbitz, and KY Brand.
At the recent Democratic National Convention, openly gay United States Rep. Barney Frank, the Democrat from Massachusetts, twice compared the Log Cabin Republicans to the Uncle Tom character in Uncle Tom's Cabin. After Log Cabin's leaders expressed outrage, Frank responded saying, "It is a good thing for Republicans to try to influence other Republicans to be supportive of LGBT rights. The problem is when they pretend to be successful when they haven't been, and urge people to join them in rewarding Republicans when they have, in fact, continued their anti-LGBT stance."
In New Hampshire, David Pierce has become the first openly gay person in the state to be elected as a legislator. Pierce, running as a state rep, won his primary September 11th and faces no opponent in November. Two other gay state senators came out while in office, but none are currently serving.
United States Representative David Cicilline, the Democrat from Rhode Island, one of only four out gay members of Congress, won his Democratic primary September 11th against Anthony Gemma. In November, he will face Brendan Doherty, a Republican who opposes marriage equality. Cicilline, who has the support of such individuals as former Congressman Patrick Kennedy, also defeated Gemma in 2010 when he was first elected to the House.
And also on the political front, two gay candidates for the Delaware legislature won their primary September 11th as well. Andy Staton easily won the Democratic primary for the 6th Senate District, while Marie Mayer won the Democratic primary in the 20th House District. If either or both win, they would be Delaware's first openly gay state lawmaker.
San Francisco officials are considering a ban on public nudity as an increasing number of men are strutting the Castro naked and sporting cock rings. District 8 Supervisor Scott Wiener told the paper that his office has received complaints all summer about the practice.
Washington, D.C. has revealed a series of ads aimed at fostering respect for transgender people in the city. The campaign is believed to be the first of its kind in the country, featuring images of transgender individuals with facts about their lives, followed by a call for treating the individuals with courtesy and respect. D.C. has reported high rates of anti-transgender murders in recent years.
West Hollywood is making rainbow crosswalks, installed in June for Pride Month, permanent. The West Hollywood City Council has approved the $67,364 project, which involves the purchase of custom Pride flag paint colors. The project is scheduled to be completed by Halloween.
Former Minnesota governor and pro wrestler Jesse Ventura is urging Minnesotans not to back a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage in the state. Ventura and his wife Terry appear in a new Minnesotans United for All Families video, expressing their support for marriage equality.
The Washington Capitals will become the latest National Hockey League team franchise to support the You Can Play Equality Project, which aims to foster equality, respect, and safety for all athletes, regardless of sexual orientation. Capitals forward Matt Hendricks deserves the credit for pushing the team to join.
Plans are underway at Dartmouth College to open an LGBT affinity house. The house is expected to open by 2014 and will serve as both a center for students and a residence hall.
In world news, in Vietnam, Pham Le Quyen Tram has become the first transgender woman to be legally recognized by authorities as a woman. A decision granted by the administration of her town allows her to redefine her sex from male to female and to legally change her name.
Japan is starting its own It Gets Better campaign thanks to an increasing pressure to address bullying and teen suicides. The Japanese government recently mentioned for the first time in its annual national policy to prevent suicide the need to offer special support for the gay community.
Activists are calling for the release of a man arrested in Cameroon for homosexual behavior. Roger Jean-Claude Mbede was sentenced to 3 years in prison for sending a text message to another man that read, "I'm very much in love with you." He is appealing the conviction after a year of served time.
The Malaysian government has begun trainings that teach educators how to spot gay students. The Teachers Foundation of Malaysia has organized 10 such seminars, which instruct that tight, light-colored clothes and large handbags for boys are both signs of homosexuality. The trainings are intended to curb homosexuality in the country.
In entertainment news, Drew Barrymore has reportedly purchased a gay bar in West Hollywood. The Charlie's Angels actress is believed to have bought the Revolver night spot that features scantily clad male go-go dancers.
During New York's Fashion Week, Jenna Lyons, the lesbian president and executive creative director of J. Crew, had fun with girlfriend Courtney Karanji at Humberto Leon and Carol Lim's opening ceremony 10-year anniversary party at Webster Hall. A source said they were tearing up the main dance floor. They were leaning into each other and kissing all night.
The Wait, a drama about a young hunchbacked man living a solitary life, working in a morgue, won the Queer Lion Award at the Venice Film Festival. The honor is given each year to the best film that accurately portrays LGBT characters.
Ewan McGregor has been cast alongside Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts in August Osage County, the movie adaptation of Tracy Letts Pulitzer and Tony-winning play. McGregor will play Bill Fordham, the estranged husband of Julia Roberts' character.
People en Español has declared Dancing with the Stars alum William Levy the sexiest man alive. The Spanish language version of People ranked Levy as sexiest man for the second year in a row.
Bisexual True Blood star Anna Paquin and co-star husband Stephen Moyer recently welcomed twins. These are the first children together for the couple. Moyer has two preteen children from previous relationships.
Country singer Keith Urban and hip-hop artist Nicki Minaj are joining original judge Randy Jackson and Mariah Carey at American Idol's judges table. Ryan Seacrest will continue on as host.
And Ellen DeGeneres and Ellen Show producer Lauren Pomerantz are teaming up for a new NBC comedy. The show follows the life of a 32-year-old independent woman reconciling aging with her chosen single life. DeGeneres will executive produce the show.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, you're listening to Lucy Lawless on Windy City Queercast with my favorite girl, Amy.
Don't miss the most ambitious and spectacular burlesque show ever to hit Chicago. Superstars of Burlesque. A cast of over 25 performers grace the stage at Chicago's historic Music Box Theater on Friday, September 21st. Enjoy a night of glitz, glamour, and nearly nude debauchery in this one-night-only event created by Michelle L'Amour. Tickets are $25. VIP admission is $50 and includes two drink tickets and priority seating. And buying two VIP tickets gets you a bottle of champagne to share. Superstars of Burlesque is one night only, Friday, September 21st at the Music Box Theater in Chicago. For tickets and a sneaky peek, visit superstarsofburlesque.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 17th, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Lifeline Theater opens its 30th anniversary season of Big Stories Up Close with a world premiere adaptation of Wilkie Collins' classic mystery, The Woman in White. Runs Thursday through Sunday through October 28th. More at lifelinetheater.com.
Xanadu, which the New York Times called Heaven on Wheels, is now playing at the Drury Lane Theater. The New Yorker raved the production is ridiculously brilliant, lavish, and sublime. Broadway's Gina Milo stars. Dinner show packages are available and parking's free. For tickets to Xanadu, visit DruryLaneOakbrook.com.
The Auditorium Theater presents Michael Feinstein and Jeff Lindbergh's Chicago Jazz Orchestra, performing classics from the Great American Songbook on September 29th at 7:30 p.m. For tickets to Michael Feinstein, call 1-800-982-ARTS or visit Ticketmaster.com.
This fall, go inside the mind of a lover, a madman, a poet, a genius, a killer, and a king. Don't miss Hamlet, playing now at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Edens or the Metra. Shakespeare's most famous play is equal parts ghost story, murder mystery, political intrigue, and doomed romance. An all-star Chicago cast makes this Hamlet the must-see play of the fall. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
Emmy-winning James Still's premiere of Illegal Use of Hands has a sterling cast and terrific performances. See the play about revenge, glory, and being a man through September 30th at Victory Gardens Biograph Theater. For tickets, go to victorygardens.org. Use code word STORE to get $10 tickets. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueerCast.com.
This is the moment we'll remember every day for the rest of our lives. Time may rush us, hurt or love us, but on this day we have arrived. It's been a long time coming. We've been in the running for so long, but now we're on our way. Let the ride just take us side by side and make us see the world through new eyes every day. You're a winner.
So, Richard, summer is over. Yep. We are at the beginning of fall here, and I really love this time between now through Christmas Day is when all the movies that people say are the movies that are the real contenders get released. And some of the movies, even though they might have been good earlier on, you know, really have to continue to echo so that they get recognized during this the big awards season. But this is when they really start rolling out. So talk to me. What are you excited about, and what does our community, the LGBT community, need to be looking for in the fall movie lineup?
Well, one of the pictures I'm really, really excited about is this movie that's coming out at the end of the month called The Perks of Being a Wallflower,
mm-hmm.
which they're sort of calling this generation's Breakfast Club. It's based on an adolescent bestseller by Stephen Chbosky, if I'm saying that correctly. And he took the material and wrote a screenplay and directed it in his debut. And it is full of heart and passion mm-hmm. and just a lovely, lovely, delicate film. And a wonderful, wonderful performance from Logan Lerman, who plays the lead character, Charlie, who's a freshman who is very lucky to hook up with this crazy, lovely brother-sister act, Sam, who's played by Emma Watson from the Harry Potter pictures.
Yeah, Hermione.
And she's this lovely, fabulous, free spirit. And her brother, who is gay, Patrick, who is played by the openly gay actor Ezra Miller, her people may have remembered from We Need to Talk About Kevin.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the young guy who, 19-year-old, like, he's so wonderful, full of bravado and funny and sexy. And the picture is set in the early 90s, so there's, of course, the Rocky Horror sequence.
mm-hmm.
It's just really, really a tremendous, you know, teen picture. Mm. I really loved it. It came out, you know, just sort of beaming, and I think it's going to really empower not only just kind of our young queer brethren and sisterin, but everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, interesting that it's set in the early 90s, because I think it will have this nostalgic quality to people of our generation. And yet, I think it will be identifiable because it's probably some stories that in a lens that hasn't always been told for, you know, as you said, the generation now of you know, high school life and friendship and all of that. So it sounds really amazing. I saw a trailer for it and I'm most interested. Seems like the kind of film I like.
It really, really resonated with me. Sort of the way Beginners last year resonated long after. I mean, for very different reasons. I found that a very, sort of a bittersweet after, which I loved. This just had this kind of warm, you know, and everybody who went through this high school, you know, being different and what gay and lesbian person did not.
Yeah, exactly.
A certain age, you know. So I love that. I think also for our community, anybody who hasn't seen Vito, the documentary portrait of Vito Russo, the writer of The Silent Closet, the co-founder of ACT UP, et cetera, it's still playing on HBO On Demand. You should see that because now there's another documentary coming out called How to Survive a Plague, in which journalist David France, who chronicled the whole sort of beginning of ACT UP, and then the splinter group called TAG that sort of later on. It's all this. He's collected all this footage because when the whole AIDS crisis started in the early 80s, it was sort of about the same time that video cameras were sort of in people's hands.
Yeah.
So he went around and collected all this footage of these street demos and all this kind of stuff. And I think it's absolutely, people don't remember how it was ignored for, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people died and nothing was done for years and years.
Right.
And so for people to, you know, this disenfranchised group, which we were and are in many ways, to get together and say, we're not going to take it and really fight back.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important part of our history. It's very entertaining. It's a great history lesson. And of course, obviously very, very moving. So I strongly recommend that. That'll be in theaters the end of this month.
And this is a time for documentary films, kind of this fall season is when they seem to be successful in coming out.
Yes, there's another one that I've been waiting for because it's been inevitable. And, you know, all these fashion documentaries, we finally have the Grand Dame, the High Empress of Fashion, Diana Vreeland. Yes. It's called Diana Vreeland, The Eye Has to Travel. And talk about an opinionated eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
How many one woman shows have been done about Diana Vreeland?
Well, and so, the companion piece could be the Helen Gurley Brown, which will probably happen now that she has passed.
Now that she has passed away.
That will be the companion piece to Diana Vreeland's documentary. That will be fascinating. Super fascinating.
Yeah, so for fashionistas, I'm so excited about that.
Now, I am a Gleek. I'm a Gleek, and I am pretty excited about this film, Pitch Perfect, that is coming out. Based on the cast alone of women, I'm kind of giddy. Do you think it's going to be good? And tell people what Pitch Perfect is about.
It's Anna Kendrick.
Yes.
Who
was in Up in the Air, played the young girl in Up in the Air with George Clooney.
Up in the Air. And I know her from, oh my gosh, Angela Robinson's movie that I love from 2004. What is it? The All Girls?
Debs,
yes. She's in that.
Yes.
All the way back to Fighter. She's so great at that. She plays a college freshman who was sort of cajoled into joining this all-girls a cappella group.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go up against the men, the competing group. So for the, you know, the music alone, if you're a Gleek,
yep,
here we go.
Yep.
I haven't seen the picture yet. It arrives at the end of the month, but they are certainly pitching this movie toward the Glee crowd.
Well, and I think that the gay community, not to be stereotypical, but, you know, we love some good Glee Club. We probably had a penchant for maybe being in the theater, musical theater, choir. You know, we, the Glee Club, understand all of that realm. But what I really love is it looks like a bit of a kinder, gentler Bridesmaids.
I hope so. I don't love that raunchy trend.
I don't think it's raunchy like the recent Bachelorette or Bridesmaids.
Yeah,
but I think that it does have the actress who played Kristen Wiig's one of her two roommates. I think she's Australian. She's a blonde, very pale.
Oh, it's that blonde woman that everybody's so crazy about. I can't think of her name, but yeah.
Oh, my God. But she steals every moment of the trailer. And I just think if she really pulls it off, it's going to be her own Melissa McCarthy moment, you know, in this film. And I hope it's good. I hope it's good. I'll definitely be in the chairs to watch that one. So October... October starts the International Film Festival here in Chicago. Reeling has been put on hold, right, for the year, so we won't have we won't have the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival this year. We will have the International Film Festival. So what's coming out in October that's exciting?
Well, I'm very excited about the Lee Daniels follow-up to Precious, which is this film called The Paperboy. That's set in the 50s with Nicole Kidman kind of playing this trailer trash woman who uses sex to kind of get what she wants. And
right.
I mean,
she's having the sexy with Zac Efron. Is that right?
Yeah. And he's great at putting really odd actors in the movie together. He put Helen Mirren and Cuba Gooding Jr. Yep. together as lovers. So... he's been able to pull that rabbit out of the hat many times, and I'm looking forward to that. That's early in the month. And I'm sure you're excited maybe about this movie called About Cherry. I haven't heard about it. It's an 18-year-old young nymphette who is talked into joining the porn world. And Heather Graham plays her lesbian porn director.
What are you saying, Richard? Why would I be excited about this?
I don't know why you'd be excited about that.
I'm definitely not into young little girls.
Woman-on-woman action in this film. James Franco's in it. It's made by a queer author turned director, former sex worker named Stephen Elliott.
There's a lot
of kink, a lot of, you know, so it sounds kind of sexy. I don't know, might want to look at that.
Okay. I'll have to do that.
I'm personally very excited about a couple things in October. One is Keep the Lights On, which is from queer writer-director Ira Sachs. His latest film, which has gotten so many festival awards based on his own experience, a long-term relationship that starts from, I think, a pickup in a bar with a guy. And it looks like everything is going to be wonderful between this couple. And then, you know, all of a sudden, looks like there's a drug problem. I haven't seen the film yet, but apparently it's harrowing, gritty, tremendous performances. A lot of buzz about this, award buzz about this film.
And what's it called?
It's called Keep the Lights On. It's being distributed actually by Music Box Films, which is here in Chicago. And that's going to be at the international premiere there early in the month and then play at the Music Box later on. I think you're going to hear a lot about that. And I think you're also going to hear a lot more about Cloud Atlas, which
Wachowski siblings now, we have to call them, right?
Because
Lana Wachowski's transition, which I saw Lana Wachowski in Andersonville the other day on Clark Street. And I had just read a huge article in Entertainment Weekly about her transition from Larry to Lana. And it's really weird to have, like, read a magazine the night before when you're falling asleep and then, like, be sitting on a bench in Andersonville and, like, look up and... this woman with shocking hot pink hair is walking towards you, and you're like, I just read an article about somebody who looks just like you. And it's like that person. It was so strange.
And there she is.
She's hanging out
it's like
here
seeing
in Greta Chicago.
Garbo.
Yeah.
They never talked to us. So the fact that she and her brother did this kind of intro piece for the film, it sort of shocked the movie world because they've never done interviews, that sort of thing. Anyway, so the film, and they also worked with Tom Tykwer, this German director that I love so much, who did Perfume, The Story of a Murderer, and writes his own music for his films, and did this bisexual triangle drama last year called Three, etc. So it's this huge, epic sci-fi picture with Tom Hanks and Hugh Grant and Susan Sarandon all playing against type. Susan Sarandon plays a man. Hugh Grant's a killer. Halle Berry's in it. Hugo Weaving, of course, who was in Priscilla and is in all of their pictures. In the first reviews, they're sort of sneaking out now, and apparently it's tremendous and visually stunning. And so I'm very, very psyched about that. That's coming at the end of October.
Fantastic. Just in time for Halloween. That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And then we have another homegrown show that's getting another another day.
You're talking about, I'm assuming, Stephen Cohn's The Wise Kids.
The Wise Kids. One of my favorite movies last year. I really, really enjoyed this movie. I would say that even if I didn't know Stephen. Stephen and I are not close friends, but I know him. And I just have to say, it really knocked me over. I thought it was a fantastic film.
Well, I don't know Stephen, and I agree with you. I saw it. It was the opening night selection for last year's Reeling. Which, again, just points out how important Reeling is to us. So hurry on back next year, Reeling.
Yep.
A lot of queer films that would normally be seen in Chicago are not going to be seen now. I'm so thrilled that the movie, you know, did the festival circuit and was a top pick from the New York Times and did very well. And finally, the Gene Siskel Film Center is giving it a well-deserved full run. Starting October 26th. Again, it's, as you said, it's a really beautiful, moving sort of drama about high school kids, evangelical teenagers, one of whom reveals that he's gay. And Stephen himself is an actor in the film, plays
he
kind
is.
Of a choir director who also has some difficulties. A lot of boundaries are tested.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this very small, I don't know, he just has such a way with actors, I'm so jealous.
Well, I will say, you know, for those people who live in the Chicagoland area, Stephen was really a beautiful standout in the About Face Theater production of The Homosexuals. And he cast and hired almost exclusively unknown Chicago actors in that film and really... he just literally went for the people who would go there and were so real, you know, because that's what he needed, that little slice of life, that little voyeuristic look, you know, at this small little community.
I'm happy to say that Allison Torum, who plays one of the teenagers, is in our film. It's
yeah.
Bridget Marley.
Yeah.
It's a small but really key couple of scenes and was delightful. And Tyler Ross, who plays the young gay teenager, went on to star in Nathan Adloff's Nate and Margaret, homegrown film, which with Natalie West, I don't know, that's out on DVD and on demand. One of my favorite films this year.
Hmm.
Really odd, quirky relationship picture between this young college guy and a 52-year-old budding stand-up comic.
Yeah, it's kind of the modern Harold and Maude, right?
Yeah, well, that really does it a disservice, and I've said that to Nathan because it's not really so wacky. Part of when you go back and look at Harold and Maude now, it's like a little gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
This film is not gimmicky at all. It feels really organic, the friendship mm-hmm. between these two. I really, really, and that's not to put down Harold and Maude because that's okay
sure,
too.
Sure, sure.
So looking
at November, as we kind of wrap up, because we're going to hold on and do the holidays closer to the holidays, but tell me what you're really excited about. What is LGBT friendly or of interest in the month of November?
Well, there's a movie that's sort of been bubbling under for a long time. It's a lesbian romance picture called Jack and Diane with Juno Temple, who has been in so many queer themed pictures. She's the daughter of Julian Temple, the film director, a little British actress who has done a lot of interesting things. She was in the Greg Araki picture, I can't think of the name of it, about the college students last year, and then she was in Dirty Girl, she starred in that. And it sounds like a typical kind of two teenage girls fall in love, one, you know, sort of is learning that she's a lesbian and kind of liking it. But then she apparently starts having these werewolf-like visions. So there's a wild card. So that's coming at, actually, I think It opens in theaters early November, and then it might be on demand a little bit before that.
Oh, cool. The on-demand thing is nice now, right?
I love that. Love that. So I think that sounds kind of interesting. And then there's just some, you know, interesting offbeat stuff that month. Like this Sean Penn movie called This Must Be the Place, where he plays kind of this Robert Smith Cure lead singer type part with the teased hair and the goth look and the lipstick and the painted fingernails. And apparently he's this retired goth rock star who finds out when his father died that he was humiliated during World War II by some anti-Semitic guy. He goes to New York to track him down. It looks really wild and crazy, and apparently the picture sort of went on the back burner, and now somebody's picked it up. I want to say, of course, it's Weinstein. And they're, like, again, talking about another Oscar for him for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds interesting. And, of course, finally we get the new James Bond.
Woo! And it looks hot, 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 I got to say.
I'm going to say, I can't help it. Talk about eye candy. Daniel Craig, Javier Bardem, Ralph Fiennes, all in the same movie. Ben Whishaw.
It's too much. It's too much for a gay man. So they should all stay home, and the lesbians will watch it.
And then the plot it centers on Judi Dench's character, M. So we're finally going to get a lot of Judi Dench in this, which, you know, nobody says buzz off like Judi Dench.
Right.
So, you know, that's just going to feel great, and I can't wait for that. And then we get the Spielberg epic biopic Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis, scripted by Tony Kushner, working with Doris Kearns Goodwin. So that probably will just be filled with wonderful performances and lots of great John Williams music.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all those sound pretty interesting.
Yeah. And then I think the big one that we'll kind of wrap up with, because if Sean Penn is going to have any Oscar contention, I am pretty sure that Daniel Day-Lewis doing anything like Daniel Day-Lewis, like cutting his toenails would probably potentially get an Oscar. But he's portraying Lincoln, which I have only seen snapshots of him in this, but it's jaw-dropping. I mean, it's shocking how much he looks like Lincoln. But it's pretty cool that this it's a Spielberg film has been written by Tony Kushner, which who would, you know, Angels in America, like this man who gave us this new gay fantasia viewpoint of America, you know, on stage, is kind of writing this almost, I don't know, how do you get more seminally American than Lincoln?
I sort of wonder if, you know, with a gay man scripting the picture, if they're gonna pick up any of, you know, Larry Kramer's theory. And a lot of people think, you know, Lincoln was gay.
Yep.
If there'll be some of that undertone in there.
I'm very curious
about that.
Thank you for walking right into that, because that was exactly where I was going. But it's also got a great cast of Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Lee Pace, who I love, and Sally Field, who we all like her. I mean, we all really like her. So,
well, I still think that Daniel Day-Lewis's work in There Must Be Blood, or There Will Be Blood, or There Will Be Oil, or whatever it was called, is still one of the greatest performances ever captured on film. I still, every time I watch that film, I can't believe his work is so tremendous. I mean, it's right up there with the woman who, you know, did The Passion of Joan of Arc, the silent classic, the woman who went mad after she filmed the movie. He's so riveting in that film. He's equally as bad, of course, in Nine, but...
I've never seen There Will Be Blood, and I guess now I need to see it, because I respect you, and if you love it that much.
You have to see it. He's astonishingly good.
Mm. Well, you are astonishingly good at bringing us your reviews and your thoughts and witty quips about film on most of our shows. So we appreciate that. And I'm glad to have spent so much time here looking ahead at fall movies because there's so much to go see. So you get back in the editing room because we're going to need more movies to see.
Yeah, we do.
Scrooge and Marley will be one of those in our next batch. But Richard Knight Jr. is with us every week. You can also catch his reviews at nightatthemovies.com, at windycitytimes.com. Richard writes for all kinds of people, but we are so fortunate to have him part of the Windy City Media, Windy City Times family, and also part
Jamie,
of the
Jamie, there are no small parts, only small actors.
That's true. Small actors who are pregnant for the entire film. All right, Richard, have a great night, and thanks for
you
being
too.
With us. Hang on tight now. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Hang on tight.